This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Short-circuiting.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Good morning. Glad you can join me as Marketplace covers the financial crisis fallout. It's pouring all over Circuit City. This morning, the company filed for bankruptcy. Not a big surprise after announcing thousands of layoffs last week, but Circuit City does plan to stay open through the holidays and work on a reorganization plan. The insurance company AIG was considered too big to fail, remember? That's why the Fed loaned it a ton of money in September. Apparently, it wasn't enough. This morning, the government announced a second rescue package for AIG. Some of it is just restructuring the loans, but the Treasury's also buying a stake in the company this time. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has more on that.
The government will lower the interest rate on the loan it made to AIG and give the insurer more time to pay it back. Uncle Sam will also help AIG take billions of dollars worth of debt off its balance sheet. Don Vickery of Gradient Analytics has been looking over AIG's earnings report this morning.
If you believe their reported results, they are not nearly as bad as I would have expected to justify the funding that they got from the government.
Even so, the government will buy preferred stock to the tune of $40 billion, making the entire AIG bailout worth a whopping $150 billion. Some of that money will come from the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, marking the first time TARP money has been used to aid a company other than a bank. Still, White House spokesman Tony Fratto tells Marketplace this move doesn't open the door to TARP money being used to rescue the auto industry, because he says much of AIG's business is clearly within the financial sector. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
AIG bailout 2.0 is one reason stocks are off to a strong start for the week. In the early going, the Dow is up 154 points to 9,097. The NASDAQ has gained 18, and the S&P 500 is up 15. European shares, about 2% higher so far. Big gains in Asia by the close, 6% in Japan, 7% in China. And the reason for that was China announced a huge stimulus package. I know, why does China need to stimulate its economy? It's still growing at 9%, which is 9% better than the U.S. economy. Let's get some help from our correspondent in Shanghai, Scott Tong. Scott, why does China do this?
The thing about China is when it goes down to around 8%, that's when the yellow light starts flashing on the dashboard and the central government officials start worrying about social stability. I mean, it really has to grow that fast to provide that many jobs for all the people moving from the countryside to the cities. So as China has slowed down, they've decided, you know, we can't wait anymore to hit the gas pedal. We have to do this right now.
And what is in this stimulus package?
Well, what isn't in it, Scott? It has roads and bridges to be built, schools and hospitals, R&D, tax reform, subsidies to farmers. This is pushing all the buttons of domestic growth in China. And China needs that because the export side of the economies around the world have basically fallen off a cliff because the American consumer has disappeared.
Well, obviously, China is thinking of itself with this, but What about outsiders? What about the U.S. and other countries? Are they seeing this as a possible help to the global economy?
The help would be all of the resource providers who will sell stuff to China to do all this building, because China doesn't have a lot of resources, so it needs to import oil and gas, steel, iron ore, wood, minerals, all of those things to keep building out this modern economy of China. So the optimist would say that's what's going to pull much of the world along. Now, China can't save the world, but at the very least, it can try to boost investor confidence, at least stop it from falling through the floor. And that's what China's arguing.
All right, Scott Tong in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thanks.
This is the Morning Report for Monday, November 10th on Marketplace.org. DHL Express is about to disappear in the U.S. Its parent company, Deutsche Post, said today it's closing all of its DHL Express centers in the United States and laying off thousands of workers. From Berlin, Kyle James reports.
The numbers are all over the place, but German media reports are saying anywhere from 12,000 to nearly 20,000 jobs could be cut in the United States. This would likely affect drivers, shipping clerks, and warehouse workers. DHL is a unit of the German logistics giant Deutsche Post. The company has already announced it expects to lose $1.6 billion at its U.S. express delivery business by the end of this year. It blames intense competition, high fuel prices, and shrinking investments due to the global economic crisis. Deutsche Post says it's not leaving the U.S. altogether. Its stateside logistics unit employs about 25,000, and some staff at DHL are expected to stay. In Berlin, I'm Kyle James for Marketplace.
A study out today from the Health Affairs Journal looks at the number of CAT scans and MRIs being ordered up. Too many. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith has more on that.
More than 95 million MRIs and CAT scans are performed every year in the U.S. That number's climbed 40% in just 5 years. Study author Lawrence Baker is a professor of health research and policy at Stanford University.
It's been possible under the Medicare program for doctors to be quite well paid doing imaging, and that drives folks to look at imaging or to adopt equipment. And once equipment gets put in, there's a lot of pressure to use it.
Baker says overuse of imaging procedures is tacking more than $1 million onto our annual Medicare bill. And it's not just medical imaging, says James Unland, president of Health Capital Group.
I would say that somewhere between one-third and one-half of all medical testing is unnecessary.
Unland says part of the problem comes from patients who demand tests that aren't needed, and he says doctors can get paid more when they prescribe extra procedures. But Unland says a crackdown may be on the way if the Obama administration reforms health care. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
There's a summit in Washington this weekend with 20 of the world's leaders. It was called as a response to the financial crisis. Obviously, a lot to talk about there, including the regulation of hedge funds. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
Now, this is not for the nervous investor, but here's a glimpse into the mind of a hedge fund manager.
I do feel I'm a kind of modern Joan of Arc, that I hear voices, I get these visions of the future, which lead me to take investment decisions with other people's money, and then I become paranoid that I'm wrong.
Fortunately for his clients, he hasn't been wrong lately. Hugh Hendry forecast the credit crunch. He's been making some big returns, but many of his peers have not. Between them, hedge funds recorded staggering losses of $180 billion in the last quarter.
And the next quarter, they'll be worse again. And the next quarter, they'll be worse again.
In fact, it's widely forecast that up to 30% of hedge funds, that's more than 2,000, will evaporate in the year ahead. Ian Morley runs this company, which invests in hedge funds. He says many of them deserve to disappear.
Many of them were unsuitable. They're not good managers. They're undercapitalized. They'll go to the wall. That's quite Darwinian. I'm not going to shed a tear for them.
But he is concerned about the looming threat of extra regulation. He claims that hedge funds have been unfairly blamed for the market turmoil. And now he says they're going to be punished wrongly.
Governments need scapegoats. They will put pressure on regulators. Regulators will come and hit the hedge funds.
There could be tighter controls over borrowing and remuneration, new rules making the funds more transparent. Banks could be prevented from owning hedge funds. But, says Hugh Hendry, you won't get the hedge funds to avoid taking risk, and a lot of it.
Anyone who tells you that they can make money for you and not do that is a promoter of castles in the sky.
And he says if his clients are prepared to back his visions of the future and the voices in his head, then that is up to them.
I may blow up tomorrow. I may lose all of my clients' money tomorrow. Some very rich people will be just slightly less rich.
In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
It doesn't seem like the best time to start a business, but I keep hearing about people who are doing it anyway. I guess they see opportunity. A new toy store just opened in Nashua, New Hampshire, and its owner should inspire anyone that the sky is the limit. Avishai Artsy reports from our entrepreneurship desk.
When you ask Josh Heinzel where his business instinct comes from, the red-haired, freckled 15-year-old shrugs and says it has to do with juju. Juju?
Yeah, it's kind of that feeling. It just when something feels right, it's hard to describe. You just have to feel it, you know?
It's an African term relating to the supernatural, and Josh does have an uncanny knowledge of how business works. When he was 12, he joined a Lego robotics team. He realized he could turn a profit by buying Lego pieces in bulk and then selling the parts online. His age was never an issue for suppliers.
You have the money, they have the product. It's pretty simple, right? It doesn't really matter how old you are to do that.
His parents fronted their son $10,000 to open Josh's Toys and Games last month at the Pheasant Lane Mall in Nashua. Josh is homeschooled, already a senior, but he thinks about business almost all the time. Here's his dad, Carl.
How could you say that Mozart, when he was four, could play the music he could? What could you attribute that to? It's almost the same type of thing. You can't. It's just there.
Of his seven employees, four are family members, including his 13-year-old brother, Jonathan.
Right now, I'm actually just sales associate, but I like to think of myself as co-owner.
Jonathan was the one who helped start NERDS, their robotics team.
And actually, it's an acronym. It stands for the New England Robotics Designers.
They won this year's LEGO Robotics World Championship. The two also choose what fills the shelves. Here's their mother, Mary.
It's 13 and 15-year-old picking the merchandise for the store for a population that's geared from about 10 years old on up. So who better to pick the merchandise than those peers?
Josh plans to open a couple more stores before college. He says with low prices, stuff he knows people like, and his juju, he'll do well.
Oh yeah, well you have to use the juju, you know? Definitely. That's the key right there.
In Nashua, New Hampshire, I'm Avishai Artsy for Marketplace.
I'll tell you one business that's booming these days, online psychics. Wired magazine says there's a lot more demand since the stock market tanked, people wanting to know their financial futures. I'm not sure how many of the clients work on Wall Street. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.